Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Good morning. We took it right to the very second. We're here. We're all in the studio, and I think we know what we're going to talk about.
I think so. Samara is the only perfect human being we know.
All right, gentlemen.
Wait a minute.
Isn't that what we were talking about?
My wife might be listening, and she would.
Well, she's got a flaw. She settled for you.
Well, he's talking about himself, though.
Okay. I'm confused. I know our listeners are confused. Welcome, everyone, to Leading Edge Medicine. And as you hear, the studio is full. I like it when it's full. It's going to get even fuller. I'll explain that a little later. But I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon, the founder and chief medical officer at Longevity Medical Clinics, here with us, and Dr. Samara Umat, the assistant medical officer. And this is, I think, going to be a good day. At 9 o'clock, we have Dr. Allegra from Northwest Face that you know well, of course, because your husband works with Dr. Allegra.
And actually, I used to work there, too.
Oh, that's right.
Before Jerry stole you.
We lured her away to the dark side.
That's so true. Anyway, that's so true. So it's going to be, and at Northwest Face, of course, they do a little bit of everything, you know, with plastic surgery. Well, your husband, ear, nose, and throat.
That's right.
Dr. Sunil Umat, you often hear us talk about him when people call in. We often refer to Northwest Face, but we've never had Dr. Allegra on. Huh. And so it's time, and he'll be here from 9 to 10 or thereabouts. But I heard some statistics last night on the television. And about the virus. We don't have to talk a lot about the virus because...
Yeah, we reached the point that now you don't have to say which virus.
It's right.
The virus. That's
so true. There's only one
that's
on the
right.
planet.
But I think it was Dr. Siegel that has been on TV a whole lot lately. And the statistics were pretty amazing. So maybe you can just...
Well, the statistics
share.
Are pretty fabulous.
Or encouraging, anyway.
Well, you know, there was a CDC report. Mm-hmm. That was using very old data. It was based back from July. And, you know, they were saying only 10% of the population has antibodies. Ergo, 90% of the population would still be, quote, susceptible to the virus. Two problems with that. One, since July, there's been a whole lot of people infected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the statistics, our peak in April, we have been running twice that high for the rest of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot more people have gotten infected mm-hmm. between July and the end of September to start with. Secondly, the CDC data is based on antibody levels. One of the things we are learning, because we used to think antibodies were the way to track the virus. Mm. This particular virus, most of our antibody response or most of our immunity response is T cell response,
that's right. mm-hmm.
not antibody. Antibodies are made by B cells, and they tend to be relatively transient. And this virus, within 3 months, the average person's antibody load has dropped by 50%. And a significant percentage of us just no longer have detectable antibodies. That doesn't mean we haven't been infected. It doesn't mean we're not immune. Our T cells, our natural killer cells, are still there and vigilant and doing the job. And so there are a variety of estimates saying that there may be four times as many people immune as the antibody test would show because of the T cell immunity. And I suspect that I am one of those. You know, when my wife and daughter were in China, they went over the day after Christmas, got sick, developed a cough. Everybody there had a cough. She came home, transmitted it to me in early January, and I got really sick for two weeks and missed work, which I never do.
Right, that
was weird.
Yeah. And yet when I tested my antibodies in June, I was negative. But I would swear I had all of the COVID infection symptoms. So I'm probably one of that majority that got the virus, developed a transient antibody response, and now have my T-cell immunity. But the T-cell immunity lasts for years and years and years and may well last a lifetime. So when you're looking at the risk of dying, and especially children, because schools are open and got people saying, oh my God, you're going to kill all the kids. And it's all survival. Assuming a kid under 12 gets the virus, he has a zero. Survival. His chances of survival if he catches the virus and he's under 12 is 99.9993%.
Boy. Wow.
Right. So, I mean, it approaches zero chances of dying.
We have some friends that have their kids back in school finally. But now the grandparents are not allowed to see the kids.
Well, and that is the only reasonable thing that I can see there. You need to sequester not the whole population. You don't need to shut everything down and lock everybody up. Okay. You've got, even if you are 70 years old, you got a 99.6% chance of surviving.
Right. Pretty encouraging.
Pretty encouraging.
That was what I heard last night.
Yeah. The downside is that, you know, you will get sick. But yeah, if we sequester the people that are at high risk, you know, and the simplest, most straightforward criteria is simply age. You know, if we were to simply protect everyone over 65 with a vaccine, we would cut overall deaths from the virus by 85%. Okay. But it's even more complicated than that because it's not just age. It's just that people over 65 tend to have the other cofactors.
That's right.
They tend to have a higher instance of obesity. There's a higher instance of diabetes. There's a higher instance of kidney failure. There's a higher instance of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. There's a higher instance of heart disease.
That's right.
And those are the factors that cause people to die. Okay. So, you know, if you are lean and fit and healthy, if you're not a diabetic, if you don't have kidney failure, if you're not an old smoker with lung disease and so on, your chances of dying from this virus are very, very, very low.
Oh, and one thing he said is that at least a third of the 200,000 people who we've been hearing have died, a third were not from the virus.
They were people that were that tested positive for the virus at the time they died. Yes, but people that
it wasn't what killed them, though.
Probably not. It may have contributed to, and that's how the CDC reports it. Virus contributing to the death. For instance, if you're in an automobile accident and you squish your head and you are COVID positive at the time, you will be counted as a COVID death. You know, if you're the victim of a robbery and someone puts two bullets in your chest and you turn out to be in the morgue that you were positive for COVID, you're a COVID death.
Yes.
I mean, you know, those two bullets in your chest had nothing to do with it. So anybody who dies that is COVID positive is listed as a COVID death.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily that the COVID killed them. And I saw one interesting estimate said, you know, since in some states, More than 50%. On average, 50% of all of the deaths come from that 0.6% of the population that are in nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
Some states, like New Hampshire, it's 70-some percent of the deaths come from the nursing homes. Yeah. In Canada, it's over 80% of their deaths are from the nursing homes.
Good night.
All right. These are people that are very sick.
Yeah.
They're unable to care for themselves. They are at the end of life. Most of them have an expected lifespan measured in months to start with. Then they catch COVID, you know, and it's simply the final push over the edge.
That's
that
right.
They're already
mm-hmm.
teetering on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this virus, it is a problem. We do need to protect the fragile. We need to protect the people at high risk, but the rest of the world can get on with their life and should. And once the election's over, they will. But I am convinced that much of our shutdown is politically
oh, yes.
motivated.
Oh, yeah.
They
it's
want
painfully
us,
obvious.
They want us to be poor and miserable and unhappy and blame it on the administration.
More specifically, The Trump administration.
It's the only administration
well,
we got right
what
now.
What I meant was Donald Trump himself. Interesting. Well, those actually, that's interesting information. It's, to me, quite encouraging information. So that's good.
Most Americans are not panicky. Most are not. Some are. I mean, I do see people driving around alone in their car wearing
yes,
a mask.
Yes, I know. I've seen that too.
What, are you afraid the steering wheel is going to cough at you, Mr.? Stupid. There are those that are just panicky, and they probably, you know, wear the mask when they kiss their spouse. I don't know. But most of us, if you look around, the highways are filled. The parks are packed
That's
whenever
right.
the sun comes out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
people are doing their thing.
Yeah.
They're going to restaurants as much as the restaurants are permitted to serve them. And if they were permitted to serve more, people would be there more mm-hmm. and the businesses would be thriving. The general population, other than that real small group of scaredy cats, are out trying to live their life as much as the governors of the states will permit them
mm-hmm.
to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard Florida's opened up everything.
Pretty much. Although, you know, again, the rule is if you're going to be in close contact with other people, wear your mask.
Yeah.
Don't be stupid.
Mm. Right.
You know,
yeah.
Wear your mask. But, you know, we have made several mistakes with this issue. And one of the big mistakes we actually made 50 some years ago. Because it wasn't this administration or the one before that or the one before that. It was 50-some years ago that we moved responsibility for pandemic testing and viral testing to the CDC, to the Center for Disease Control. We no longer permit independent laboratories to take responsibility for developing their own tests. It all went to the CDC.
Mm.
And so, unlike South Korea, that it had SARS and MERS, and they said, whoa, our central lab is behind behind the curve. So they allowed every lab in South Korea to be able to develop their own tests. In January, when the first case was found in South Korea, the government called a confab of all the labs. And found out that two labs already had a test tested and ready to manufacture. They approved the first independent test in 4 days.
Good grief.
All they did was say, show us your data. They showed the data, and in 4 days, South Korea's government said, go for it.
Hmm.
5 days later, they approved the second test. Within a month, they had over 100 tests. 100 companies making tests. Yeah. South Korea, because they allowed private enterprise to jump in and develop tests early and produce them early, and the government approved them lickety-split, you know, just in a matter of days each. Do you know how many COVID tests the country, or not tests, the COVID cases, the country of South Korea has right now when we're, you know, most of the world is looking at a second wave? About 55 million people there have about 75 cases a day.
That's it.
That's it.
Good.
75 cases a day. Mm. They have fewer cases in South Korea than we have in Washington State. And they got 55 million people and we have 5.
Hmm.
Okay.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, but people wear masks.
Yeah.
But they never shut everything down. When they had their resurgence in August, they shut the schools down for 2 weeks. That was it, 2 weeks. Schools have been open all summer there. Okay. And because they had to shut them for 2 weeks in the early part. You remember we were told 2 weeks and we'll bend the curve? Yeah, well, it's been 6 months later.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're still on our neck. Korea, 2 weeks in January and 2 weeks in August, and that's the only shutdowns they've had. And they didn't shut everything down. They just shut down the schools and visits to nursing homes.
That seems logical. You know, you're talking about the fear base. I had read that in the 60s, the KGB did some fascinating psychological experiments. They learned that if you bombarded humans with fear messages nonstop, over and over and over again, in 2 months or less, most of the subjects were completely brainwashed to believe the false message. And the point was that no amount of clear information after that bombardment would change their mind. The facts would not change their
mind. We are designed to prioritize fear because it's a survival trait.
Yeah.
You know, if there's if there's animals or bad people out to get you, you need to be cautious. So yes, human beings are designed to react strongly to threats. And so, yes, if your government is out trying to make you afraid, most people will get afraid in a hurry. There are those of us who simply make a rude gesture towards the people trying to make us fear and, and move on with our lives.
But fear has been front and center for quite a number of months now. Kind of a sad thing. But let's do this. Let's go to a break. Let me give out the toll-free number so we can start taking calls. If you're new to Leading Edge Medicine, this is all about you and your health. If you have a question, you have a concern, you need a second opinion, or hey, you need a first opinion, you're frustrated about your health, maybe the health of a loved one, all you do is give us a call. Here's the toll-free number, 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. I am not hearing the music, so I'm assuming something is wrong in the studio, but we are supposed to be.
Our engineer was so bored by what That's we were right. saying, he fell asleep. Wake up there.
There we go. I think I can hear it. It's coming. It's coming. There we go. That is good. Hey, and again, when we come back, we'll take some calls at 800-465-8770. Hey, it's 20 minutes past the hour. Pete Talbot here. You are listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon. I've got Dr. Samira Umat. And we've got you and your health issues. So all you need to do is call us at 800-465-8770. And we'll take some calls. In fact, let's do that right now. Oh, quick little reminder. If you have ever considered a facelift, for example, or liposuction, or any other type of plastic surgery, we have a very good friend. Jerry, you've known Dr. Allegra, and of course your husband, Sunil Umat, works with Dr. Allegra at Northwest Faced, and he's going to be here at 9 o'clock.
But I think what you were getting to is that Dr. Allegra does those plastic surgeries. Which you never actually said. If you need this and if you need that. Oh, and by the way, this guy's going to create. Yeah, but he actually does these procedures. I don't bury the lead. All right.
Well, okay. Thank you. Anyway, he's going to be here. He's a good guy. I've met him. I've met him a couple of times. I can't. But anyway, he's going to be here. And
when I started my clinic, back in 1998. The space I had rented was not finished, but I had some people that wanted to be treated. So I borrowed Dr. Allegra's office one morning a week, actually, because I didn't have very many patients in those days. And he was kind enough to let me use his office. Well, he charged me for it. But but he rented me his office one morning a week that I could start the clinic a few months earlier than I otherwise could have.
So I started with them, too. Isn't that an interesting story? And when I met you and I told them that, you know, that I was going to be talking to you, and when they said, oh, yeah, we know Dr. Mixon. He used to rent space from us over here.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, no, you don't know anything. You just got the wrong Mixon. But they were right.
No, they were right. Yeah. No.
So. Anyway, he's going to be here at 9 o'clock. I think it's going to be real interesting.
So we both started in the same place.
Yes, we did.
Excellent. Let's go to Mount Lake Terrace and talk to Terry. Terry, welcome to the show.
Hello, Terry.
Yeah, hi there. Say, before I ask my question, I just want to thank you 8 years ago for talking me through a way to get over type 2 diabetes all naturally.
And, you're welcome, sir.
Since then, of course, I've learned a lot about it, but this last week I came across something that was a 26-minute presentation by a doctor who was advocating a particular test for a serum blood marker that he had never heard of before until he checked into the science. I certainly never heard of it. I wanted to find out if you did and knew anything about it. Something called GlycoMark, which looks for a compound 1,5-N-hydroglucosidol, or 1,5-AG, says, which is a very strong marker for very high variability in glycemic load. So postprandial peaks above 180. Tend to lower this marker. And so he's saying it's a much stronger indicator for the consequences of type 2 diabetes than conventional testing. And I was wondering if you know anything about that.
Terry, not a whole lot, but yes, you're absolutely right. It does exist. It is an a marker that independently is associated with increased rate of diabetes complications. So it's not commonly used. I don't know of many of my colleagues that have even mentioned it to me, but you are right. It is a test. It is called GlycoMark test. It is the only FDA-cleared test specific for detecting a recent increase in sugar level excursions, meaning after, you know, like how we do a postprandial level, we give insulin to see how high the insulin will rise. That gives us an idea of whether our patients are at risk for insulin resistance or metabolic syndrome. So this is the first test that can actually detect that. But it's not commonly available at this point in time.
Yeah. And the problem is quantitating which specifically which complications and what is the effect of altering this. You know, how do you go about altering the marker, and then how is that going to alter the outcomes that you're really looking for up the road?
And according to what he had to say is that this variability is a consequence of an insufficient phase one insulin response, and that is can be encouraged by an enzyme he called GLP-1, and he said there are both pharmaceutical and natural ways to encourage that.
Yeah, and there are actually GLP.
The consequences were everything. I mean, you know, oxidative stress and all the crap goes along with that.
Yeah, and the GLP drugs, the GLP modifying drugs, have been the new wave in diabetes therapy over the course of the last, I don't know, 3 to 5 years.
They have.
And, you know, they are very expensive, but they are effective. Since we are not folks who make our living treating diabetes and the complications of diabetes, our emphasis is on preventing diabetes and reversing the disease process as early as possible. So, you know, with our patient load, we test to see, do you have insulin resistance? Are you headed towards diabetes in the next few years? How do we stop that process, move you back like we did with you you know, towards mm-hmm. normal blood sugars and normal insulin responses. So our point of intervention is much earlier than simply saying, oh, who has diabetes and now is at the highest risk of having complications. Okay, that's for the diabetologist
right.
to be involved with.
For
not,
sure.
Not so there much our clinic.
Right. And then, you know, Jerry, just to add to that, for people who are listening in and saying, are they missing out? This hemoglobin A1C and fasting glucose levels are still going to be the cornerstone of assessing.
They're fast, they're easy, they're cheap, they're readily available, and they're underutilized.
Yeah, I get that. His argument was that this is an even earlier predictor, and because it's got a 2-week look back instead of a 3-month look back, any interventions can be tested mm-hmm. earlier to see how effective it might be. But if the drugs are expensive, if the test is expensive and not widely available, that argues against it.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And you know, even today, Terry, to be very honest with you, just fasting hyperglycemia itself is so difficult to get under control that detecting it sooner, I don't know how many people will be compliant in any case.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, when we see people that are at risk of developing diabetes yeah. or have very early type 2 that they're not aware of, while 70% of them have the potential to be cured, getting them to make the changes necessary in their life when they don't yet see a disease process that's hurting them is really tough.
Yeah.
And the system is also set up where they will go through the traditional route and the traditional medications before the newer, more expensive medications will be approved by their insurance carriers.
Right. Because the insurance companies approve the cheapest ones first.
Yeah.
Hey, Terry, tell us just real quickly, we've only got a minute or so here, but real quickly, tell us your story again, how we were able to help you.
Well, it was 2011 Christmas morning, and I was testing in the 140s, peaking at close to 200, and I called the following Saturday, and for 6 weeks straight, I was the first call that Dr. McSinney gave me lots of good hints, and I jumped on them, did the research, and by February, I was testing in the 80s.
Yeah. Isn't that something? Well, hey, yeah. That's why we get up and do this show live every Saturday. Terry, thank you for your call.
All right, thank you, Bob.
That's really good news. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. This might be a good time to remind you that our free health analysis appointments for Longevity Medical Clinic are still available. And we made kind of a big announcement last week that because we've made some major shifts, we're growing at Longevity in a big way. And by the way, we need some additional staff too. That's another thing I need to emphasize this morning. If you're interested in a job, maybe as a receptionist, as a medical assistant, might even consider a doctor who's unhappy out there, possibly dealing with traditional insurance protocols. Yuck. Maybe you would be interested too. So you can contact us at, HR@longevitymedicalclinic.com. But the free health analysis appointments, we've expanded those. And now through the middle of October, we have like 15, 16 or so available in each of our three clinics. That's really big news. That's very exciting for us. And because we've worked hard to make them available for you. And the really good news is you still get the two free tests, the blood test, what you were just talking about, the A1C test. So we still do the blood test and we still do the very special in-body test. We're not going to describe them right now because we're getting real close to a break, but you get those two free tests. But we're also just sort of teasing you just a little bit with an incentive. We're going to give you a choice now. You can, just for coming to the free health analysis appointment, you can get $100 of free longevity supplements of your choice. We have quite a variety available. $100 of free longevity supplements or your choice, our two fitness books, which we wrote, and our fitness bands. They're cool. They're really cool. And both my wife and I love them. And so your choice. And you make your own appointment at lmclinic.com. Easy, easy to do. You just go to lmclinic.com and you push on the button to schedule an appointment. Then you choose which clinic you would like the free appointment in, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. And when you, let's say you push Kirkland, well, then the Kirkland calendar shows up on your screen and all of the available free health analysis appointments show up. You just click on the one that's good for you. Easy, easy, easy to do. I promise. It's all done at lmclinic.com. All right. Hey, we'll go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Josette from Woodinville. She has some questions about testing T-cells. And then Will from Brennan, and then Dave from Shoreline. COVID testing, all sorts of questions coming up. Whatever, we've got one line open right now, so why don't you grab it? We've got two lines open at 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770. We'll be back before you know.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Join in the conversation at 1-800-465-8770 and tell your friends to listen.
That's 1-800-465-8770.
Hey, 30 minutes, 35 minutes past the hour here. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Let's get right back to taking some calls. Oh, I should also point out, if you want to make one of those free health analysis appointments, you can also do it by calling Longevity Medical Clinic at 866-86-YOUNG, 866-86-YOUNG. Literally 90-95% of the appointments are made online, however. It's the easiest, quickest way to do it, and it certainly is simple. So don't let the computer scare you. Make the appointment. Grab one of the free health analysis appointments at lmclinic.com. All right, to Woodinville we go. And Josette, welcome to the show.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
Good morning. Today, during this whole epidemic, I'd say to my husband, gee, if I just had a crystal ball I could look into that tells me that, you know, if you get the virus, you will not die. So my question to you is, okay, is there a test to see how strong our T cells are?
There are T cell immunity tests on the planet, but there are very few labs that can do the test. There was just a recent publication by a university in England. I'm trying to think of which one it was. Cardiff University in England just reported that they have a T cell test that seems to be accurate for COVID. See, we all have T cells. T cells are the other half of our immune system. We have the B cells that produce antibody, and the T cells make a longer lasting cellular immunity that not just kills the virus that attacks it, but will also kill similar viruses. So it turns out that people that have been immunized or have had infections from a wide variety of other viruses may well have T cells that will protect them against the COVID, the coronavirus. For instance, one third of the common colds in America are caused by a coronavirus. Coronavirus doesn't just cause this. Mm-hmm. This particular novel coronavirus is a variant. It's a newer version. And it's more closely related to the SARS virus that went through Asia, back a decade or more ago. And so anybody that has been infected by something that is genetically similar to the coronavirus may well have T cells that will cover not just the bug that infected them in the first place, but will also protect them against coronavirus. And sometimes they're viruses that we don't even think of as being similar. Let me give you an example. The oral polio immunization, the old-fashioned Salk vaccine, where we simply took a sugar cube that had a few drops of this attenuated virus on it, that oral immunization seems to give profound protection against this coronavirus. So people who had that version of the, not the newer injection, but the old-fashioned sugar cube version of the polio virus, have a high probability of being relatively resistant to the coronavirus, because for some reason that poliomyelitis virus seems to provide T-cell cross-reactivity to the coronavirus. Okay, even though they're totally different viruses. So it's hard to predict which person's T cells are going to be. So this is not a matter of just measuring an antibody, which is a pretty straightforward, simple test to do. You actually have to take enough blood to find some of the immune T cells in this individual's body, isolate those T cells in a laboratory, grow them and get them to grow, and then expose them to other cells that have already been infected by the coronavirus. Because it doesn't inactivate the virus per se. What the T cells, the natural killer cells, do is destroy the cells that are infected by the virus. Okay? So it's a step further down the road. So you're not just testing about for the virus or for the antibodies to the virus. You actually have to use cells, living cells that have been infected by the virus, but not yet killed. It's a lot more complex. So it's slow, it's expensive, not very many laboratories can do the testing. Okay.
Good to know. I did get the old-fashioned polio sugar cube. I didn't have an injection.
And so did I. When I was 5 years old.
And then I got the H1N1 flu.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So it was maybe a little more protection.
Well, maybe. And, you know, people like me that travel all over the planet and have had umpteen dozen immunizations of one sort or another, you know, I have a high probability of having T-cell immunity. That doesn't mean I won't get infected, but it means that my body will handle the infection very, very well.
Hmm.
So,
okay, well, you thoroughly answered my question. I thought I could just come in next week and have a blood test.
I wish.
Then, okay.
Yeah, I wish. All right, ma'am.
I'll go back to find you in my crystal ball somewhere.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks a lot, guys.
Let us go to Brennan and talk to Will. Hello, Will.
No, hi. I've got a question about whey protein. It's supposed to be the, you know, panacea of proteins. That's because it has such an array of amino acids. But my question is, since animal protein is known to be carcinogenic and inflammatory and cause, you know, on the basis of a lot of inflammatory disease, is it really a good idea to take whey protein?
Good question. Most of the time, I use a whey-based amino acid supplement, but that's no longer whey protein. See, what they do is they start with whey, which is a side effect of making cheese. The whey is the protein left over from cheese production. It's dirt cheap. I think you can buy a 50-pound bag of it for $20 or something. And then they take that protein and they hydrolyze it. They basically digest it for you and break it down so it's no longer a protein. What you now end up with are just the free amino acids that used to make up the protein. Okay, because proteins are chains of amino acids that are tied together. So when you hydrolyze them, you no longer have a protein. What you now have are amino acids. And those amino acids are very, very readily absorbed by your system. So if you're doing workouts and exercising, if you take an amino acid drink, you know, a hydrolyzed whey protein, within 2 hours of your exercise, then you make a statistically significant increase in the amount of muscle mass that you produce as a result. But you're not taking the protein. Does that answer your question?
So, well, what is it called when you go to buy it? What are you looking for?
Well, we make one at our clinic for our patients.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and it's our
optimal lean.
Yes. Yeah, we call it optimal lean.
Yeah. A lot of our staff, virtually every day, our staff, we've got a pretty good-sized kitchen, and I walk in there, and they often use that for shakes.
Yeah, making smoothies.
Smoothies,
yeah.
And
well,
stuff
but
like
you
that.
Have a very nice recipe that's very easy and simple with cocoa powder and caffeine. I've actually shared that with many of my patients.
Yeah.
It makes it very easy to use.
Yeah, it's my favorite is the natural coca has a really high concentration of polyphenols that are extremely beneficial for cardiovascular health. And so you don't want to use the Dutched version, which makes it darker and richer, but doesn't provide the cardiovascular protection because they destroy most of the polyphenols in the process of Dutching it. But if you get the natural cocoa powder, take a spoonful of that, throw that in, add the optimal lean, and then I throw in some instant coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And whip that all together.
Shake it.
I like almond milk with it, but you mm-hmm. can use anything you want. Some people use water. I think that's kind of wussy.
I'm a hemp milk guy myself.
Hemp milk.
Yeah.
So you first you smoke it and then you drink it.
No. No.
You walked into that one too, Pete.
Everything I do, I
should know.
Today especially.
You should know not to give me those openings,
Pete.
But yeah, and you know, that way I get the little, I get the lift, I get the cocoa powder, I get the, you know, the slurry. And when I do my workouts, you know, I get a very, very nice results with it.
Some of the guys up and down the hall here put fruit in.
Yes,
a lot,
sure.
A lot of strawberries and blackberries and blueberries and what have you.
Well, you see, I tell them to put vegetables in and they don't listen to me.
No. Well, I don't blame them.
But we do have a freezer full of chopped up fruit.
Yes.
And so they just scoop up some of the frozen fruit
right.
and throw it in.
It's a lot of fun. And you can get Optimal Lean on our website, lmclinic.com, and just go up and put it in.
Low. I'm sorry, what?
Another quick question.
Sure.
Does fermentation destroy lectins like pressure cooking does?
Fermentation? You know, I don't know. I mean, obviously with fermentation, what you're doing is you're raising the alcohol content. And I suppose, yeah. I mean, alcohol is a pretty decent disinfectant. But I guess it would depend on how much alcohol you produce. You know, most wines are up there around 6% or so. And I've never seen anybody topple over from botulina with
well, you can do some,
wine.
You can do some research this next week.
Well, I could, except that it'll have to be paper. You know I have no alcohol tolerance.
No, I know.
So you can't try them.
A glass of wine, this guy is leaning up against the wall.
Yeah, I used to have back when I was single, I used to say, you know, half a glass of wine, women can have their way with me, so please bring a bottle. But it gave me an excuse to be easy.
Yes.
But All right. Let's answer the question.
How did we get here?
I know. But apparently, yes, fermentation does reduce lectins by as much as 95% if it is sprouting. And then whichever method you use, soybean products include soy and miso and temp. But yes, fermentation can reduce lectin production.
So there you go.
See,
thanks, Will.
That's
appreciate
why I have
the
smart woman with me.
That's right.
All right.
And Google. What can we say?
Dr. Google knows all.
That's right. Hey, we need to go to a break, but we've got some people who did not want to go on the air.
Shame on them.
One had a question wanting to know the name of that generic Cialis that you recommend.
Tadalafil.
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 Okay, Tadalafil. All right. And then someone else wanted to know about cluster headaches, but we can deal with that.
That was more complex.
That's a little more complex. But we've also got Ken from Gig Harbor and Elsa from Kent. Well, no, that was Elsa with the Cialis question. When we come back,
it's interesting. A lady asking about Cialis.
That's right.
I would like to have talked to her.
Well, she wouldn't go on the air. You scare her.
I know. I'm so intimidated. All right.
I'm glad she didn't go on the air. What can I say?
But tadalafil has some real benefits for women.
Yes,
in
it
addition
does.
To men.
That's exactly why I said.
We think of this as an erectile dysfunction drug, but it is far more than that. It has impact on breast cancer, brain function.
Well, cardiovascular health
is a biggie. I am a promoter of tadalafil in women as well as men.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, she wants to know where she can buy the discounted 20 milligram tablets.
Oh, GoodRx.
Yeah, have her go online, get her GoodRx coupon, and most of the stores you get 90 pills for something in the neighborhood of $60 to $70. And the standard dose is 5 milligrams a day, so it's 1/4 of a pill a day. It's a soft little pill. It tastes sweet. You just take that 20 pill. You bite off about 1/4 of it each day. And those 90 pills will last you 360 days. You get a year's supply for $70.
Not bad. Not bad. All right. We do have this break. When we come back, maybe a little early, because Dr. Allegra just walked in the door from Northwest Face. This is going to be quite interesting. Don't go far. We'll be right back. Pete Talbot here. We've got, and you're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I've got three doctors. Boy, this is fun. Three doctors in the studio with me today. Obviously, Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, and Dr. Umat, Samira Umat, your husband, Sunil, works with Dr. Allegra Northwest Face.
We moved to this area for the Allegras. So,
really?
Yeah. So the story is that Sunil was looking online, and he saw them look for a physician to join their practice. And then the next morning when he went to show me that, he responded to it very quickly. And then the next morning when he went to show it to me, it was gone. They pulled it. So their ad on the online at the whatever site they posted it, I don't even know, was gone overnight. And they basically were only looking for one person. And when Sunil called them, they said, well, you know, we already have somebody interviewing. We're really not sure. And it was gone that quickly. It wasn't even there. But when Ludwig and Sunil spoke, Sunil then very quickly, and Sunil doesn't make quick decisions, you know, he kind of mulls things over. Within weeks, he was in Seattle to meet with Ludwig and his wife, and he had a wonderful trip. And within a few short weeks, we were here. It was like it was meant to be.
Where'd you come from again?
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were in South
Carolina. Please don't say that properly. It's South Carolina.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry, Jerry. I know
all my relatives down there in South Carolina were in Myrtle Beach.
Dr. Allegra, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
It's really good to have you here. I've been hearing about you forever, and it is about time. In fact, to be fair, I've been inviting you for almost a year, but with the pandemic and just everybody's crazy schedule, it's finally happened. Yeah. This is just really great. And during the break, we were talking about the overall health benefits of improving your appearance. Why don't you explain?
No, absolutely. The old adage of look as good as you feel is extremely real. You folks at Longevity Medicine have spent so much time and effort and have achieved such great results. And I've known Jerry since the beginning, the very
That's
beginning.
That's true.
That's right.
He actually had a little, was at our office for a That's very right. short
That's right.
period of time.
It was
wonderful. And you've done such great work. And so how do you, you know, you look great, you feel good, and everything is improving. And so looking in a mirror and actually looking good becomes a very, very positive attribute. I think it's something that makes you feel well. You wake in the morning, and it pushes endorphins up. It's a very positive attribute. And so what I've done for so many years is really try to achieve those goals for individuals and address all parts of looking good, be it facial or body issues, and how do we address those in state-of-the-art options, something that's very easy, really becomes a very positive for individuals who seek our help. You know, as I tell patients who come in, say, you know, look, changes that happen over time, you know, are based on several factors. Age obviously does play a role, of course. Genetics plays a role. There's some features that we inherit to some extent, whether we like it or not. And then beyond that, there's lifestyle issues that may have happened. Individuals who smoked or have had a lot of sun exposure, those all play a role. And so what I do is assess an individual and, you know, look at what are their goals, what can we do to reverse a lot of these changes, and do so in an easy and very successful and comfortable fashion.
Well, this is fun. You know, the listeners here know that we have Bella Medica for all non-surgical things.
That's right.
You know, our aesthetic division, Bella Medica. In fact, we have our very own show now
called
Beautiful You with this beautiful person right here. Dr. Samira Umat is the host every afternoon, Saturday afternoon from 1 to 2 o'clock right here on 770 KTTH. But, non-surgical.
That's right.
We're totally non-surgical.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there are times. Mm-hmm. There are times mm-hmm. when we refer. In fact, folks, if you're a regular listener here, you know it seems like pretty regularly we are referring
right.
to Northwest Face.
That's
and
right.
we give, you know, nwface.com. You need to go there, check things out. And we talk about Sunil and with the ear, nose, and throat, and oh my goodness. So,
and with the apnea, nocturnal apnea, where people stop
right.
breathing
yeah.
in the night,
yeah.
Sunil
right.
does a lot of that for us
yeah.
because that's a common problem in older people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yes, you know, our goal is to make people strong, fast, lean, smart, and sexy.
Mm-hmm.
If you function well, you look better.
That's right.
But time and gravity always win eventually. And at some point, you want to intervene with the non-surgical things, the Botox, the fillers, the skin rejuvenation. But then beyond that,
mm-hmm.
you're headed for the plastic surgeons, and that's, you know, Ludwig, and his clinic does a great job on the plastic surgery. So it's a stepwise, depending on, you know, where you are in life and what you need.
It's kind of fun. Like you said, Jerry, we want our patients to be stronger, leaner, faster, smarter, and sexier, and that is very, very true. It's fun when we hear our patients say they are feeling and functioning better than they did 5, 10, 15 years ago.
But if you're feeling hot, it's mm-hmm. good to look hot, too.
That's right. That's right. But it's also because I know we have a whole lot of longevity patients that are Dr. Allegra's patients.
That's
I mean,
right. We do.
I wish we should keep track of that, but it doesn't matter. But I've heard patients say that have been to him
mm-hmm.
that they look better than they looked 10 years ago or 15. I've heard
well,
that.
Well, yeah,
personally.
Not only that, my patients have thanked me for making the referral.
Yes.
And they've had a great experience. So, you know, again, there's limitations. As you said, Jerry, rightly so, time and gravity will take a toll. And non-surgically, there's limitations. You can, depending upon when you start, we can help you. But for surgery and for surgical options, you do need to do something that we can't do. And so if you're looking for that option, then Dr. Allegra and his team are very good at what they mm-hmm. do, and they do a very good evaluation and assessment.
That is always the first step. And so here's the deal. We've got him for the next 45 minutes to an hour. Why don't you call if you have questions, you're considering some type of plastic surgery, possibly.
Body. Anything from a tummy tuck to breast augmentation to breast reduction, which is one that doesn't usually get talked about.
Yeah.
Some women have these very big, heavy, pendulous breasts. They get backaches and neckaches and headaches just from the weight pulling.
Lots of things we can talk about. Call us with your questions, 800-465-8770. This is a very quick break. We'll be back probably in about 20 seconds. Don't go far.